Today on Real Radio.
But salvation by grace will always produce humility in our lives. It's not of us, it's of Him. It's not of works. Nobody can boast. Listen, it excludes all human achievement and pride. And I want you to grab this. Why did God select Paul the Apostle? Back then, Saul of Tarsus, Pharisee. Listen, in Philippians chapter 3, beginning at verse 3, listen to the qualifications of Paul in the flesh and see if you can outdo this guy if you want to work your way into heaven. Because you're going to have to beat Paul.
You make me, break me, change my life completely. Always my days, I freely give you my praise. My heart is in your hands, let me feel your touch. Lord, I live for your love.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in his series through the New Testament book of Ephesians. We're in a mini-series that focuses on what is possibly the most cited passage in Scripture that proclaims the truth that our salvation is of the grace of Almighty God alone. We're speaking, of course, about Ephesians 2, 8, and 9. Here's pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs.
Isn't it funny that all around the world, you'll go around the world, and what's everybody trying to do who want to reach God? They're working toward it. Everybody. That ought to give you a clue right there. Salvation is of the Lord. It's freely given. Yet you go around where the gospel of Jesus Christ is not presented to people freely. And what are they doing? Man, they're working for it. Not by works, lest any man should boast. That means if there's works involved, men will boast. We're so good at it. I'm going to lead all of you into a deeper life with God. It's through this simple path of humility. And I've written my book, 100 Ways to Be Humble. I saw a guy on TV, I won't mention his name because you'll get upset with me. This guy, well, he did a message, and we happened to have caught him on TV. We came home. One day I was very depressed after a Sunday morning message. And so I just came home and I sat down and I just thought, Lord, I just like blew it, man. I blew the message. It was the worst. And I'm not the guy to be around after a Sunday service. Because, you know, there's the message you preach in front of the people. Then there's the message you preach all the way home. And the one on the way home is always better than the one that you give to the people. And so I'm pretty depressed, so I turned on a television station nearby in Santa Ana that I will not mention. And so I'm watching this thing. And this guy says that, he says, you need to get this video, $29.95. He said, it is the greatest message that I've ever heard. And, wow, that's something. I got to hear this thing. And he goes, you send $29.95 in, the greatest message that I have, that I've ever heard, he said. And he said, you just send in right here, the phone number's on the screen. And that message was just delivered recently. And he said that message was on humility. And it was the greatest message I have ever given. I kid you not. I fixed my whole day. I felt great after that. What is it that causes people to do these things? The rejection of Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9, that salvation is a free gift. And it's an assault to any of us who want to work our way into heaven. We think we've got to do penance. That's not in the Bible anywhere. Oh my goodness, I've been so bad on Monday, I'll be good Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday. That doesn't work. And we hope in the end that our good outweighs our bad. It doesn't work that way. He says it's not by works, lest any man should boast. Turn to Romans chapter 4, verse 4. A little bit to the left. Romans 4, 4. Book of Romans, fantastic book. Actually, let's just go to verse 1, Romans 4, 1. What then shall we say that Abraham our father has found according to the flesh? For if Abraham was justified by works, he has something of which to boast, but not before God. That's, he can brag to everybody. He goes, on my block, I was the nicest guy. I gave more money than anyone. In fact, the Melchizedek guy came by and I gave him some money and blessed him. And you know what? I was just the best. He could have said that toward men. And for any of us who are trying to work our way into the kingdom, you need to sit up and listen to this, because, listen, I don't care how good you are, your goodness does not outdo the goodness of Abraham, try as you may. But he had nothing to boast about in front of God. No way. And so it says, verse 3, for what does the Scripture say? It says that Abraham believed God and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Isn't that amazing? Abraham had a born-again relationship with God before the law was ever given. Abraham believed in God and God justified him by belief. Abraham's faith in the Lord caused God to stamp him justified, just if he'd never sinned. So Abraham might have been pretty good before men, but he wasn't perfect before God until God justified him by faith. He saw his faith, and God says, you know what? Listen carefully. Your faith didn't save you, Abraham. The object that you're trusting in has saved you. And for that, you're justified. So free. It says, verse 4, now to him who works. Here you go. Now to him who wants to work his way into the kingdom, the wages are not counted as grace, but as a debt. Okay, God, I don't need this grace stuff. That's for wimps. I'm going to work it in. So you start going, and then you live a pretty good day tomorrow and, or today, and you say, God, now you owe me. And God gives you, you know, a little thing on the little deal on the side, little change thing. Little nickels come out. Ice cream man's got on his hip. Here you go, 50 cents. Oh, great, man. So you get up the next day, everything's going great. I'm going to work my way. I'm going to keep these requirements. I'm going to keep these standards, and I'm going to, and your heart's right. But you don't have the power to do anything to pull it all off. And you might come close, but not before God. God's everywhere. He's in secret where we're at. He's in the places where we think nobody's looking, where nobody's listening. He's there. He hears it all and he sees it all. So we can't boast. But if we're going to work our way, we may have demanded from God 75 cents for Monday and Tuesday, but you know what? The moment we blew it on Tuesday evening, we lost it all. It's not of debt. It's not going to work. Verse 5, but to him who does not work, but believes on him who justifies the ungodly, his faith is accounted for him for righteousness. Just as David also describes the blessedness of the man to whom God imputes, that is, gives righteousness apart from works. Verse 7, blessed are those whose lawless deeds are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man whom the Lord shall not impute sin. God no longer is keeping a record. Can you believe this? God is no longer keeping a record of my sin. You keep a record of my sin. And I keep a record of my sin. But God does not. And how that settles in your ear right now tonight determines where your heart is in your relationship with God. If you know Him, you say, yes. Praise the Lord. If you don't know Him, you go, huh, that sounds like a pretty cheap thing to me. Yeah. It seems that way to you because you don't believe Him. You don't trust Him. And you got a problem because Jesus says, you want to get in the kingdom? You come just like a little baby. You come like a little child. And God says, this is how people get into the kingdom. They are justified freely by faith, and I impute, that is, I give to them freely unearned my righteousness. Free. Can I add a little bit to that? No. You want to add to it? You do it on your own. But you're not going to goof up my perfect gift with your little thing. It won't work. It's like, did you ever do this when you were kids? It's like, you know, it's Mother's Day, you know, it's Mom's Day, and you go out and you're playing around with your little guy, and you get your little plastic cup out there in the backyard, you mix up some dirt, add some water, put some grass shavings in there, and the dandelion thing. Looks like one of those little umbrella cocktail deals. You go into Mom, hi, Mom, you know, I want to give you something. And, you know, she's going, oh, that's so great, honey, thank you so much. You know, bye. And she just pours the thing down the drain. It's toxic, you know, there's dirt and mud floating around and bugs hanging around there. And it's not going to work. The little guy gave it with some intentions, you know. But it wasn't acceptable. And when we come to God through works like that, it's not acceptable. And if we try to work our way in there, the book of Hebrews tells us we have fallen from grace. For we go about to seek a righteousness of our own. Real quickly, salvation by grace will always in our lives produce humility, people. We mentioned it at the close of last week. When it says not of works, lest anyone should boast, he's saying to us that salvation by grace will always produce in the person humility. A person who is an arrogant Christian. It is possible to be an arrogant Christian. I think you're backslidden. But you're arrogant. Well, you know, you go on with this thing about how great thou art. I remember when I used to struggle with this. I got it now. That's why Paul says, you guys better be careful over there in Corinth. You know, you think you're such a hotshot. That's the very thing you think you're tough in. Oh, I'll never fall to that. Oh, man, you're halfway there. Wealth can never bother me. That's a joke. You may have never had a problem with your wealth, but the moment you say it, Satan goes, what did he just say? Did he say that wealth never bothers him? Listen, he goes back to one of his buddies, you know, hey, slime face. Go over here and make him even richer. See how he handles that. Paul says, be careful. That very thing you think you're strong in is the thing you're going to fall in. I can handle it. No, you can't handle it. But salvation by grace will always produce humility in our lives. It's not of us. It's of Him. It's not of works. Nobody can boast. Listen, it excludes all human achievement and pride. And I want you to grab this. Why did God select Paul the Apostle? Back then, Saul of Tarsus, Pharisee. Listen, in Philippians chapter 3, beginning at verse 3, listen to the qualifications of Paul in the flesh and see if you can outdo this guy if you want to work your way into heaven. Because you're going to have to beat Paul. Philippians 3:3 says, "For we are the circumcision." We're Jewish. Truly, if you think about it, who worship God in spirit. Romans chapter 2, verses 28 and 29 says of us who have been circumcised of the heart that we are truly Jewish. Did you know that? How many of you are born again? Raise your hand. Wow, look around. Look at all the hands. You can put your hand down. That's great. It's neat. You know what? Did you have this experience when you got born again? Did you feel Jewish for some reason? Instead of like, man, I like all of a sudden want to go to Israel, and I don't know. It's weird, man. I got saved and I got a Star of David. I went and bought one at the jewelry store. I just felt like I wanted to be a Jew. And then I came along to Romans 2, verses 28 and 29. And it says, "He who is a Jew, he is not a Jew who is circumcised outwardly of the flesh, but he is a Jew who's been circumcised inwardly of the heart, whose circumcision is of the heart and not of the flesh." And that was the neatest thing. And you know what the word Jew, Jewish, Judaism means? It means praise, to praise, praiser, a worshiper. That's what Jewish means, a worshiper. So Paul says here in Philippians 3:3, "For we are the circumcision who worship God in spirit, rejoice in Christ Jesus, and have no confidence in the flesh." That means no circumcision. We don't trust in it. We don't trust in any baptism. That doesn't do anything to you. Taking communion is not going to save you. Doing penance, anything of the flesh, it won't work. No confidence in the flesh. "Though I also," he says, "might have confidence in the flesh, if anyone else thinks he may have confidence in the flesh," he says, "I more so." And you go, man, that's a pretty big statement, Paul. And he goes, "Oh, yeah? Well, watch this. What day were you circumcised on?" Seventh day. He says, "I was circumcised on the eighth day." Circumcised on the eighth day. "What tribe or what nation are you from?" "Well, I'm from America." Big deal. "I'm from Israel." "Oh. What tribe are you from?" Chino Hills Indians. "I'm from the tribe of Benjamin." "Wow. I'm a Hebrew, and not only a Hebrew, I'm a Hebrew of the Hebrews." He says, if you want to brag, he says, I can brag you under the table, pal. "Concerning the law, I was a Pharisee." I could quote you any verse of the Bible, a drop of a hat. I could do Bible bash and whip you in a drop of a hat. You know, just, I could even quote the verse before you got the last reference right out of your mouth. Concerning the law, I was right on. The Pharisee, and listen, concerning zeal, I was so zealous that I went around having Christians killed. That's how zealous I was. "Concerning the righteousness, can you say this? Concerning the righteousness which comes by the law, I was blameless." If you're going to get there by works, you're going to have to outdo this boy here. Listen to this. "But what things were gained to me," all of this position and this gain, "these I have counted loss for Christ." I love the word in the Greek. It's bandini. No, I'm kidding. It means bandini. It's garbage. He's going to say this in a moment here. "Yet indeed I also count all things lost for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them but bandini, that I may gain Christ and be found in Him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law," which is really no righteousness at all, but he says, "which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith." And isn't it funny tonight that the world thinks they can work their way into heaven, and the moment somebody comes into the presence of a worldling who is even viewed as being better than they, what does the world say? Did you catch that? Did I lose you? If the world out there is saying you need to work your way into heaven, the moment somebody who is better than them comes into their presence, you know what they do to them? Do you think they lift them up and say, you know, put them on a little gurney and lift them up high and say, hey, this guy's better than us. And we believe that you have to work your way into heaven, so look at him, he's really good. No, they don't. They say, you little self-righteous thing, you. The world gets all upset when somebody better than they walks into the room. Well, holier than thou. It bugs them. But yet they'll tell you their message, and their message is be good enough. Contradiction. No boasting's allowed. Romans 3:23, you know it well. Starting there, Paul says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Jesus Christ. God presented Him as a sacrifice of atonement through faith in His blood. He did this to demonstrate His justice, because in His forbearance He had left the sins committed beforehand unpunished, to demonstrate at this present time His righteousness, that He might, God, might be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. Where is boasting then? It is excluded. By what law? Of works? No, but by the law of faith. It's absolutely amazing. Do you tonight trust Jesus Christ and His sacrifice on the cross? Now, our tendency might be to say, yes, I do. And in the foreseeable future, there's no possible scenario that's going to test us on that. You're not on your deathbed right now. The doctor hasn't told you today you've got 25 minutes. You got an hour. So we can say that. We trust Him. We trust Him to take us into eternity by His sacrifice. We borderline call Him a liar concerning our mortgage payment this month by how we live.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, in a presentation taken from the precious and familiar passage, Ephesians 2, 8, and 9. This is actually a mini-series, which means we'll continue with more on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. In the meantime, remember to take advantage of our offer, Pastor Jack's audio CD set, The Life and Times of Jesus Christ. If you'd like to learn more about history's most influential figure, then take advantage of this generous offer. Pastor Jack's The Life and Times of Jesus Christ on audio CD is yours when you make a contribution to the ongoing work of Real Radio of any amount. So when you get in touch with us, be it by calling, by clicking, or by writing, just ask for The Life and Times of Jesus Christ. Visit us at realradioactive.org. realradioactive.org. Our telephone number is toll-free, 877-RR-RADIO, 877-RR-RADIO. Or you can send your gift to Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Again, Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. If you missed any of this contact information, it can easily be found at realradioactive.org. Real Radio with Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, and made possible by the generous contributions of its listeners. Till next time, we at Real Radio and Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word.
Inside, You shine amidst this broken daylight.
Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California.